Hallelujah. Amen. Preacher said you have a telephone call. He lifted the receiver and said, hello. And on the other end was a broken voice. He announced who he was as a preacher some miles away. And he said, Brother Mays, they told me today that I had less than a year to live. I got terminal cancer. And he said, Brother Grace, Brother, you pray for me. I preached about grace. I read about grace, but I hadn't got that grace tonight. A few months passed by, and Brother Mays said he called him again. His heart was broken. His voice was broken. He said, Brother Mays, I hadn't got but a little while to live. I hadn't got that grace. Brother Mays, pray for me. The third call came. The voice you could barely hear on the other end, Mays said. He said, Mays, I want to tell you, I just got hours to live. I just want to call and tell you, grace came in today. You don't need it till the hour comes. There'll be grace on top of grace, grace underneath of grace, big grace, little grace, wide grace, God's grace. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Amen. Stand, and I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 1. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. I'll wait till you find your place. Well, somebody did me a favor and turned the clock upside down tonight. Amen. Of course, you can't see it when you're down here anyhow. Amen. Verse 1, chapters 3 in the book is Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest in Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush is not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reasons of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a land, a good land, and a large, into a land full of milk and honey, and of the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Thank you, you can be seated. So these 10 verses are correctly read out of the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And God will add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of the word of God, our good. and His glory. We'll talk with you a little while tonight when the fire catches in the desert. Moses, an old man now, if we'd do it by evaluation of most of us tonight, he's 80 years old. He had left under pressure from Egypt 40 years prior to this. For 40 years he had kept now the flock of Jethro. He had been entangled a great deal in the affairs of the desert living. And I'm sure that all during that time his mind went back to the scene that he had left many years ago. He had left the herding people. He had left the people that was slaves. I mentioned that last evening. Now, these people were treated inhuman. And they were suffering beyond most of our imagination day after day after day. Even though Moses found himself on the other side of town in a much different environment most of his life, there's something God birthed in blood one day. Those folks on Yon Goshen had a place in his heart. He might have been educated and culturized in the Pharaoh's home, but God burst some blood out of Amram jockey bed in his heart and didn't get over it. He still had a burden in his heart. He'd go many times out on the hillside, and I'm sure he'd try to tune an ear for many, many miles across the desert and try to hear the groans and the cries of the people he couldn't help. Well, let me just say this tonight. Moses got out of step with God. Luke said in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts that Moses felt that he was the one that would lead the people of God out of captivity or out of slavery. He got ahead of God. Moses, like most of you, you can't wait on God. If you're like me, you can't wait on a traffic light, much less God. He got it in his own mind, on his own head, and tried to do it, get ahead of God. And he got to the place that he couldn't help the people that he really needed to help. Lord God, that's true among so many church members today. Got ahead of God, didn't wait on God, and now there's the people that can't help. Could I say Carroll County is about that in mind? Then it died with the masses. Died in religion without God Almighty. I wish churches didn't wait on God. Hadn't got enough power to blow a toad frog out of the water. Moses was wearing out 40 long years of miserable living, and he couldn't help a people that was on his heart. Well, he wakes up one morning, just about like any other morning for 40 years. Whatever his chores were, immediately after he got up, he attended to them. He'd like a cup of coffee, whatever he had. They drank it, maybe some goat's milk, and whatever it is, just same old routine. Same old monotonous life. Same old rags he wrapped around his body. Same old blatant sheep and stinking goats. Same old ornery donkeys. Same old life. Drudgery. Can I say this? Walking out of the will of God is about the monotonous life you ever live. That's the reason, bless God, you can't keep people in the house of the Lord. It's just monotonous. The same old thing, same amazing grace, and standing on the promises and sweet out prayer, and same old Bible, same old outlines, same old songs. And if you don't have a touch of God from the south end of heaven on your soul, it gets monotonous. I know. Come to church out of routine. Come, cause if I don't come, the preacher will be on my door. You as well stay home.
You're right.
You have to make yourself go to church. You live a monotonous life. You need to go somewhere to have a hour long. Stick your nose somewhere to the ground and say, my God, if I'm saved, help me to realize it. Get in tune with you so my life won't be monotonous.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
Same old thing for 40 long years. Oh, God, folks, that's a generation. That's a generation. 4 years. Same old routine. Day in and day out and day in and day out. Walks out across the desert. Same old flowers. Here and yonder, little desert lily grows up. Pretty and red. But as few as they are, and as far as you are from right, didn't help Moses one lick. It's bad when the flowers don't help you out.
Yeah,
it's empty. Empty. Monotonous. A life without walking hand in hand with God is a monotonous life. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to get out of that tonight. You need to ask God to blow you out of the saddle. Get you out of your old routine. Same old thing. Over and over. 40 years. Preacher, why I keep saying that, I want to get monotonous to you. I said enough times to get monotonous, and maybe you'll get some monotonous with it. You won't do something about it.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. When you can sit at home and know what's going on in the church, we better change our way of going, hadn't we?
Amen. You're right.
Moses knew step by step by step, day in and day out, exactly what to do. But this is a different day. 40 years of monotony. And he'd got accustomed to monotony and said, I guess it's going to be this way the rest of the way in. That 40 years he got accustomed to. That's the way it is. I just lean to it and we'll go. God help. I want to tell you something. The devil's made us believe that we can live powerless and without no joy and without no power of God to blow folks out of their sin. I tell you, see old time Holy Ghost, heaven born, sign the eye, deep conviction. He's got you believing it'll be alright to live that way. You've lived that way for 40 years and just keep up. He's a lying to you.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Same old routine. Until one day. He didn't get up that morning and hear angels sing. He didn't get a vision from God and said, this is going to be the day. He didn't get a sign from God. That's the reason folks are going across this country now. Well, bless God, I don't see no sign of revival. Who said you're supposed to see a sign? Just because you're a Gentile, because you look for a sign, that's what my Bible says. Because some of you won't plant your taters unless the sign's right. You're a Gentile. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble, preacher. I see, yeah. Same old thing. Didn't hear angels sing. God didn't touch him that morning and wake him up. God didn't put a star unusually in the sky. Same thing. But God broke in on the desert.
Amen.
God set a bush afire.
Amen.
And I'm sure that's not the first bush that Moses ever seen. But he's fixing to have a divine conversation. Boy, that's what you need tonight. You need to have a divine conversation. You see, what trapped in here, just not a bush on fire. No, God, anybody can see a bush on fire. But what attracted the boy? No, something before the voice. The bush was not consumed. You see, this cloud comes in, jumping three branches, and hollering glory to God, the Lamb forever. In too much time, blessed God, FBI can't find them.
Yeah.
The The bush got burned up, Brother Cook.
Amen.
Bush burned up.
Yeah.
His crowd out here at the pool hall and the dance hall and the drug hall, they don't care. They're not concerned about your bush of burning. They just wonder if you're going to get consumed by it.
Amen. Amen.
Been too many folks got burned down, burned up, whichever it is. I never have determined which it is. But the bush caught on fire. It's not consumed. That's the reason it blesses me. Come over here at Calvary. See some of you men and women. Thank God you've been in the fire. All these years I've known you, for at least 45 years, some of you, I've known, and you're still sticking with the stuff. Bless God, your bush didn't burn out.
Amen.
There's been a lot of ups and downs, and there's been some dry weather, and there's been some storms, and there's been some hardship. Bless God, just keep a stick in there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. I said, you preachers here, bless God, when the fire gets a burning, don't run off from it. Oh, we got a bunch of preachers don't know a thing in the world about switching churches.
They're right.
They run out of outlines and run, Doug.
Yeah, that's right.
But God set a bush afire and wasn't consumed. Boy, that's a time this God will get the attention of that world.
Right. Amen.
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 He got Moses' attention when the bush didn't burn.
Amen.
And when the bush didn't burn, there was a conversation that began. Divine. Now get this. It had been 40 years. And as far as I know, and as far as the Bible records, he had not heard from God. 40 years. No word from God. By the way, folks, I don't know how many times God spoke to him before that. We don't have any real record of much before then. And Moses is in the place now. I need to hear from God. And God broke in when the bush got on fire. It is out of that fire that God spoke to it.
Yeah,
I want you to notice, when God speaks, I'll read it to you in a minute. When God speaks, He brings in the past, the present, and the future. Read it with me. Look, if you would please, in verse 6. Moreover, He said, God said, I am God of thy fathers. Amen. That's in the past. God of thy father Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of yesterday. Now, well, hold on right there now. He's just not the God of yesterday. Some folks say, well, you know, I wish it would be like it used to. Well, it ain't never been like it used to. We're saying, well, I remember when you used to shout all over the place.
Yeah.
Well, how long has it been since you took a fit all over the place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was somebody? Tony, was that you? Somebody the other day, just maybe this week, said that. I wonder why everybody didn't shout, and God spoke to him and said, why ain't you shouting?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I wish we had some of those shouting saints like we did. Well, bless God, you get to be one of them.
Amen.
You said don't feel like, who said you're supposed to?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I don't know how you're supposed to feel before you shout. Let me use that word again, and that's plenty of that. Huh? I don't know how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to go by your feeling. Go by faith, go what you know.
Yeah.
I know I'm saved by the grace of God. I know God's my Father. Jesus, my Savior. Holy Ghost, my cover. It's my home. Church is my abiding place. Thank God, I always shout the praise of God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, He is the God of yesterday. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But don't you know what He's saying? That only God. Whoo! You know what He's doing? He's getting right to Moses. Moses, you talking about what happened? Why, sure. His mom and daddy told him that there's an old man died down yonder and they buried his bones up here on the hill. And he said, it's a reminder that when you get out of here, take my bones with you. He is the God for yesterday. Read another little verse. Go down to the next verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are right now in me. He's the God of today. Hallelujah. So is God of yesterday. He is the I Am of yesterday. But He is the I Am of right now. Glory to God. He knows where you are. He understands your feelings. He knows your down city and your reprising. He knows your heartache. He knows your battles. He knows your wife and your husband. Glory to God. He's a right man, God. I said he's enough. Why now? He said, I know my people down on Egypt. Moses, you don't know the height of it. I know. And then he speaks the next verse in the future. And he said, I'm going to deliver him. He's not only a God of a conversation, but He's the God of a covenant. He said, Moses, he said, put his shoe on. Now the reason Holy Ground, I'm not sure get a little fly in your face, said, excuse me, brother. He said, take your shoes off, you stand on holy ground. What made it holy? Where it was? No. Because who was there? Who was there? Bless God, He can make a pine big and holy if He wants to. Amen. He can make, bless God, He can make that sink in your kitchen. Ladies, He can make it holy for you. Holy God.
Amen.
But you see, when He told him to pull off his shoes, He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. That's what that's all about. Not because this had his shoes off just to feel the soil, but He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm great God. I'm honestly glad you got a covenant, God. One morning, I got up out of the bed just like every other morning for 13 years. And for at least 5 or 6 of those years, first thing I did when I got up was put on old pair overalls and a shirt on if it was winter time. And I made my way about 3 lengths of this church building down to the barn. And I'd get that for the last 5 years or so. I'd leave that big old Guernsey cow out. I'd wash her quarters off and I'd get me a gallon bucket and I'd put between my legs and sit down while that old Guernsey ate her meal. I got the meal out of the other room. I'd milk that cow. That's the routine. Got through milking the cow. I took the milk up to the house. Mama took a real white cloth and strained that milk. Glory to God, that's a living. Hallelujah. Strained that milk. And while she strained that milk, I'd have cropping the hogs. Had 2 or 3 or 4 old hogs. You don't be around a hog pen long, you smell like a hog. That's just my routine, you know. That's what I did that morning, just like any other morning. Went through my routines, just like any other man, just a 13-year-old boy, going through my routines. And I didn't like to milk a cow and stop a hog either. Nobody does at 13. You can find too many slingshots to make, and too many stick horses to ride, and too much cowboy in there. Ain't got time for hogs and dogs. Yeah, I didn't enjoy it more than anybody else, but same old thing over and over again. August. Big meeting going up at the church. Been that way far back as I can remember. Had a big meeting. Had always in August. Till church time. I didn't want to go. My brother got in my pocket knife and whittled a stick. Sit out in the woods. A whole lot better for me. But we didn't discuss we was going to go to church about it is understood. I got ready. Put on my pair of overalls and right clean shirt. We lived about a mile from the church. And all we youngins couldn't get in the 34 mile of Chevrolet, so somebody had to walk, and it pleased me to walk. It's just like every other revival meeting. I put my shoes on, then off, then my shoes. I've been barefoot all but on Sunday all year. My feet got spread out and didn't fit the shoes too well. You know what I'm talking about? Especially when one of them high heel toes, you know what I'm talking about. God didn't make your feet to fit me. Down here. Uh-oh. But, going to church, and that's proud, you know. Anybody else going to church? All of a sudden, there's a button popped off of them bibs. Wasn't the kind you sew back home. It was in pressed on time. You remember if I... Oh, I'm not talking about them overhaul pants. I'm talking about bib overalls with the galluses on it. Well, here I was. My gallus back this way, and my bib down here. Well, that's it today. Huh? Yes, sir? I'd be rest of the cool ones. I'd have been coming all right, you know. But if I'd have went to church like that, Mama saw me, it would have got cool. It'd have got hot. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can have all them miracle healing churches you please. Give me the providence of God, preacher.
Yes, sir.
You let me live under the providence of God, and don't you worry about praying for my healing. Don't need to pray for a miracle for me. Just let me walk under the providence of great God. If this ever breaks in on you, you won't be able to hold your seat. On a country road in 1943, who under heaven could have found a shiny nail on a dirt road on an August evening? I'll leave it between you to find out where it comes from. I don't know. I can assume that God... He knew that gallop don't break, Brother Kirk. Amen.
Amen.
Go with it. I'm going to holler real loud, Hoss. I got a providential God. He knows where you are. He knows where you're going. He knows what you're under tonight. So He's already got it fixed, and we'll believe it. Woo! I got that little shiny nail. You couldn't run a rusty nail through a tough piece of overall, save your bone days. But I pushed that nail right through that gallus. And I put them bibs up and shook my thumb through that. And I got a fix. Amen. A normal day. A routine day had turned into the providence of an almighty God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Oh, you hearing me well? Woo! God knew what was about to happen.
Amen.
When I was a little ashamed of my nail, when I tried to ask, I didn't want anybody else to know I was in church. Because I couldn't go back. I went back. There wasn't another pair of overalls put on, if you hear me right. 1943, in the middle of World War II. Brother Doug, you know, there weren't no other overalls. You was lucky to have one good pair. That's the reason more houses didn't have closets that had a nail on the door. Didn't take a closet to hang one pair of overalls and one shirt. You had the other pair on? Are you listening to me?
Amen.
You young'uns here don't know a thing I'm talking about. So I couldn't go back to the house. And if I went back, if I'd have got straight, I'd have been late for church, and there'd have been more to answer for than I could answer for.
Amen.
So in church, same routine till my button popped off. Ooh.
What had happened? God wanted me to know. Button or no button, nail or no nail, shiny shoes or bogans, good pants or no pants. God could save you. That was the night that the Holy Ghost of God come down a dirt road to a little white plank church, Brother Hugh, and called my name. I got mourned again. Woo! That day changed my life forever. I wouldn't have been standing here if that day would not have been on the calendar. I'm here because God, woo! In the providence of God, turned monotonous into eternity, saved me by the grace of God. I'm here because of that. Aren't you glad God broke into your routine? Ooh, aren't you glad God knocked you where you were, saved you by the grace of God? You know what he did? That very night. Now, where I got saved back yonder, I hope this don't mess up your theology. Now, where I got saved back yonder, or up here, it just happened so quick, I don't know. But I know something happened. I know I got a transformation. I know God's coming. And you know what? He made a covenant with me. That one who had a divine conversation with me on that hill had a divine covenant for me. You know what he did? He said, you're saved forever. Go back to Moses a minute, help you understand it. He said to Moses, I'm the God of today and I'm the God of the future. I will deliver my people from out of Egypt's bondage. I'm going to tell you something. It did not matter about the faithfulness of Moses or Aaron or anybody else. God is going to make a covenant. Whew. Didn't depend upon Moses' faithfulness. Didn't depend on how good he could talk. Didn't depend on how smart he was when he was here. It depended upon, whoo, the God of heaven who made it. I'm going to make it through, thank God. And not because of my goodness, but because, brother, I covenant with God one day, a blood covenant that seals the time and all eternity.
God's going to live. I said, God's gone. Amen. You see, some folks say, well, you know what? What you going to do with this thing? You will. Well, how about my future? Your sin's always in the future. It's always. Huh? It's always been the future. This is the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. That's the promise of God. He activated Calvary. Purified it. Leave it, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he came to sin far away. Rising, he justified me. Freely. Freely. Forever. And then one day someone asked me, oh, glorious King. Amen. He made a covenant. Moses had just got out of battle. Old backslidden lot. I'm in a real mess. And somebody told old Uncle Abel, that old nephew lot messed up and the king's come down to Sodom and Gomorrah where the walls carried off in the captivity. Well, I guess that the most that would say, that's a low down soft savior, man. Try to get him out of that junk. Not God. Or not Moses. Moses got his servants. Didn't say his warriors, got his servants together. Was it 318, whatever. He got his servants together. Took those kings, got everything, got all their goods and delivered those fellows. And the world thinks you've got to get paid something to do. And they said, all right, Moses, what will you? Moses said, don't know me anything. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord that day. Amen. Walked up the road that day. The Lord came to him. And he said, Lord, still I'm child. I don't have any children.
said, can I have a, how about a boy? Okay. I'm going to give you a boy. Said, what's that one? 15th chapter of Genesis. Read that one to go by. He said, Moses gets sacrificed and meets over yonder. We're going to make covenant with you about this food. He gets over and takes a book. Divides that book, puts one over here, one half over here. So he takes the lamb, puts half over here and half over here. Takes the lamb, puts half over here and half over here. Takes a turtle dove and a pigeon. Puts whole turtle dove over here, whole pigeon over here. As far as things don't show up, he waited, and he waited. And what God does is let you extinguish all of the physical hope you have. Every little button you can push, every little song you can sing to get stuff. Huh? Moses exhausted everything he had. And when he did, you know what happened? The flesh got out. How you know the flesh got out of the way? Went to sleep. Not just telling me, he had to get that old flesh out of the way. And while he was, glory to God. But while he was there, God came. Now when the covenant was made, look here, God. If I made a covenant with somebody, we'd hold hands and we'd get the sacrifices and we'd walk between the sacrifices. And we walk between those sacrifices, we'll turn around and we'll go right back. But God turned Moses asleep. And didn't nobody walk between that but God. He sent Moses the promise of this boy. Not going to be on you in Sarai. It's going to be 25 years before it gets here. You got some waiting to do, but don't depend on your faithfulness. Don't depend on how young you are. Just depend on God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Tell you something, Paul. If you ever get to read them covenants God made with you in that blessed Bible, it'll make your shoes, kick your shoes off, shout the praise of God. You under blessed covenant with God tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I know we've got a lot of hell in this world. I know there's a lot of battles to fight, but I'm glad God's done walking the sacrifices. Amen. Amen. Depends on Him. It's not my hand, your hand. I've got a God. Somebody, He said God's still on the throne. Amen. He's on the throne, but I'm not sure how still He is. Amen. He's got this thing in His hand. I don't understand it all. And I couldn't understand it. If He'd tell me, I probably wouldn't understand it then. It's God's mind. It's just some things don't tinker with. Just know, woo! Know God's walked between the sacrifices. And He's made a covenant with you. And God will, God will carry out His covenant that He made.
Amen.
So let's close. Did God deliver? Yeah, he did. Marvelously. Miraculously. Sometimes God doesn't do it like we want Him to. Man. Those folks got ready. I mean, they got ready to kill Moses before this thing's over with. Because the more Moses tried to get them out, the worse it becomes. I mean, hell, it didn't bad like it was, but it has got bad now. Okay, son. God's doing something. Moses and that crowd couldn't see. But before God ever gets them people out of there, they had a lot of gods. They had a lot of old traditions. They had a lot of old religious activities. And before God, now listen to me closely, before God ever got the people out of there, He had to put in the ashes of humility every god Egypt ever knew. They ever marched out there the first week? You know what that says? Look at Moses. The boy marched out of there. He's looking at God.
Right.
Hey, it wasn't Moses.
Right.
Moses is just a man God spoke on the other side of the hill. It's God doing this.
Amen.
Amen. I say, glory to God. God laid in those plagues, those 10 plagues was given when God finished up every old ungod, the hellish God of Egypt laid in the dust of humility. God marched it.
Amen.
But I say this, my going. I don't like a lot of infiltration of Eastern mysticism that's invading America. I don't like all the gods so called, all the heathen religion, all the migration. I don't like it. Say what you please. You said you're racial. No, I want to be godly.
Amen. Amen.
If they come into America, they'll live like America.
Amen.
I ought not have to, amen. I ought not have to learn their language.
Yeah.
Buy clothes and look in the collar. And you can't tell. They can't give exceptions to something else. DBJ boo. I don't like it. But God, I believe, spoke to my heart and said, hey, I'm getting glory be to God Almighty in the morning. God's fixing in bags and putting in the dirt every one of the hellish gods. God's about to get yours out of here, good. And lay the people in humility. Thank God as a covenant God that promised to come for us.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you in closing, are you living under the covenant of God without fear? That'll help you throw away a lot of tranquilizers you've been using. You recognize you've got a God today. The bigger no doctor of a dad. Amen. Believe you got a covenant of God. He's the God of yesterday, Abraham, Isaac. He's the God of today. I am what I am, who I am.
Amen.
He's enough.
Amen.
Not God. And I said, God's enough.
Yeah.
That's the reason God's a jealous God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
God wants you to come in the house of the Lord and flirt with the world when you leave the house of God.
Yeah. Amen.
God wants you to be His God. Well, preacher, 90% of the time, I am. But if your wife was just 90% faithful, you have problems at your house.
Amen.
And if you're just 90% faithful to God, you've got problems at your house.
Amen.
And God's opened up a place tonight for you to come and move that cup with a God who does not want to share you with anybody else. Moses told God, I can't do it. I can't do it. Somebody said to him before finish, somebody said, God never called you to do anything you couldn't do. God never called you to do anything you could do. So it's not going to be you, it's going to be Him. Moses said, I can't talk. I'm going to send Aaron with you. I'm going to say this too. When you get somebody else to substitute and do your job, that's a bug going to get you in trouble. There is no such thing in a Baptist church as an associate pastor. He is associate to the pastor. Amen! He's not there and cannot do the job of the preacher. There's nobody can take your place. Don't try to buddy up and get somebody else to do what God's called you to do. That's where to get in trouble. somebody in real trouble tonight. You know what? I find Moses. Man, he sure learned to talk to her. Because I don't hear a whole lot of nobody else talking but Mr. Moses. In fact, he's got to the place. He's not only talking, but when they get across that Red Sea, he's done got the same. Huh? You'd be surprised what God can do. Amen. If you allow. Don't sit where you are tonight in a world of monotony. Same old thing over and over again. Let God renew your covenant. Let God come in, knock your door down. Let God come in, take over, and you'll be so much better. You trying to do, and God said, why don't you turn it over to me and let me do it? Amen. This thing. What a God. What a God. What a God. It'd be a good time. You get over this old monotony of life. Let God set your bush on fire. He wants you tonight. He really wants to walk in where you are. He really wants you to pull your shoes off. Make a covenant with Him tonight. All that pleasing tonight. You just do that. Or some folks going through battle. I know that. You don't have to tell me how I found out. Holy Spirit of God knows you've gone through some battles. You can't handle them tonight. No way under God. But I'll tell you, you need to say, Lord, I'm tired of this old monotonous life. I'm a covenant to you tonight. You